Okay, we're going to be in the book of 1 Samuel this morning, 1 Samuel chapter 1, and 1 Samuel is in the Old Testament, you got the first four books, and then Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and then 1 Samuel, and so that's where we're going to be at this morning, 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we're going to bring a Mother's Day message, and we're going to look at the life of a mother here in the Bible, and learn some lessons from a Bible mother. Lessons from a Bible mother. So if you're in your place, if you find your place there, stand with me if you will as we read the Word of God together. 1 Samuel chapter 1, we're going to read the first 11 verses. The Scripture says, "Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim." Is that the way you pronounce it? I have no idea. All right, it sounded good, right? Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, and the son of Jehoam, the son of Eliu, the son of Tohu, the son of Jerph, an Ephraimite. Amen. Aren't you glad for names like Bill and Sam and, you know, oh, praise God. Amen. Good night. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah. The name of the other was Peniah. And Peniah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of a city yearly to worship and to sacrifice in the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. And the time was, when the time was that Elkanah offered, he came to Peniah, his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters, but portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, "Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons?" So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." And let's pray. Lord, we love you this morning. Thank you so much for this day, Lord, celebrating, Lord, mothers, and Lord, just thank you for that, God, and thank you for all the wonderful ladies in this room, God, and their children and their families, and Lord, help us this morning as we look into your word, Lord, about this Bible mother, God, help us to learn some things from it, and Lord, speak to our hearts now, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Lessons from a Bible mother. Well, before I get into the message, I found some things here that I thought you mothers could relate to, okay? I found what's called a mother's dictionary of meanings, all right? Because when mothers say something, it usually means something than what it normally means, right? Because it's mom talk, all right? So let me give you some mother's dictionary of meanings, all right? So here's the first word we're going to define. That's the word dumbwaiter. All right, now, y'all understand what a dumb waiter is. It's old school where they used to have like a mini elevator, you know, they'd take food down to places. So here's what a mom's definition of a dumb waiter is. One who asks if the kids would care to order dessert, okay? That's a dumb waiter, all right? A mom's definition of the word feedback, all right, is this. The inevitable result when the baby doesn't appreciate the strained carrots, all right? Feedback, all right? Full name, what's that mean to a mom? It means what you call your child when you're mad at him, the full name, all right? Grandparents, the people who think your children are wonderful, even though they're sure they're not the one, even though they're sure you're not raising them right, okay? That's grandparents, the people who think your children are wonderful, even though they're sure you're not raising them right, all right? How about hearsay? Hearsay. Here's what a mom thinks hearsay means. What toddlers do when anyone mutters a dirty word. Hearsay, all right? Independent. How we want our children to be for as long as they do everything we say, right? Independent. Puddle. A small body of water that draws other small bodies wearing dry shoes into it. Okay? That's a puddle. Show off. A child who is more talented than yours. I like that one, a show off. All right? Top bunk. Where you should never put a child wearing Superman jammies, all right? The top bunk, all right? 2-minute warning when the baby's face turns red and she begins to make those familiar grunting noises. 2-minute warning, all right? Who done it? none of the kids that live in your house. That's what whodunit means, all right? Now, here's something that is called things mom would never say, all right? You'll never hear your mom say this, all right? Here it is. You ready? How on earth can you see the TV sitting so far back, all right? Mom would never say that, all right? How about this? Yeah, I used to skip school a lot too, okay? Mom would never say it, all right? Here's something else mom would never say. Just leave all the lights on. It makes the house look more cheery, okay? I don't think mom's going to say that. How about this? Let me smell that shirt. Yeah, it's good for another week. All right? Go ahead and keep that stray dog, honey. I'll be glad to feed and walk him every day. How about this? Well, if Johnny's mama says it's okay, then that's good enough for me. The curfew. It's just a general time to shoot for. It's not like I'm running a prison around here. Mom wouldn't say that. How about this? I don't have a tissue with me, so just use your sleeve. All right? I don't think you'll hear Mom say that. And then here's the last thing you would never hear a mom say. Don't bother wearing a jacket. The wind chill is bound to improve, okay? And so that's a mom's dictionary of meanings and things mom would never say. All right, let's get to the Bible this morning. Amen. I am not a comedian, obviously. Okay, here we go. 1 Samuel chapter 1, lessons from a Bible mother. Well, in order to understand the context of this, we need to understand what's going on in the nation of Israel at this time. Israel was in a sad state of affairs. Their arch enemy, the Philistines, were winning battles against them. God's power was gone because of the sins of Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And so Israel is in a very bad state. So God decided to call someone to step in and correct the problem. Now, what I think is interesting about this is that God's plan to gift the nation of Israel with probably the greatest prophet the nation ever had, and that is Samuel, the great Samuel, the prophet of Israel. God's plan began with a godly mother named Hannah. And almost all the time when someone talks about Samuel and they mention their parents, you hardly ever hear his father's name mentioned. It's not, you know, hardly ever hear Elkanah and Samuel. No, it's always Hannah and Samuel. And we have this godly mother here who God used to influence and change the course of a nation. Let me just say, moms, listen, the job you're doing is an important job, amen? The job you have of raising your kids and training them and teaching them, especially when you're pointing them toward the things of the Lord, don't ever take that job for granted. It's a very important thing. And so we're going to learn some lessons from this Bible mother this morning. We're going to look about seven aspects from this story and see how they can apply to our life today. So first of all, I want you to notice here, the first thing we notice about Hannah when she comes on the scene is the fact that she was barren. So we notice, first of all, her barrenness. In verse 5, it says this, that the Lord had shut up her womb. And then in verse 6, it says, and her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. So first of all, the story begins with the problem. It begins with the barrenness of this woman who wanted so bad to have a child. I mean, think about it, folks. A woman that wants to be a mother and cannot have a child is like a salesman that has no sales. It's like a tree with no fruit, like a school with no pupils, like a bank without money, like a restaurant without food, like a church with no people, like an army with no soldiers. I mean, this is just, it's something that goes hand in hand. Now, you may ask yourself, why in the world would God put her through all that suffering of barrenness? I mean, it clearly says that the Lord had shut up her womb. I mean, eventually God was going to give her a son. Why all the heartache? Why all the sorrow of being barren? Well, I want you to think about something for a minute. If Hannah's conception and delivery of Samuel had been just like every other mother and child that had been born, do you think we'd be talking about her today? Do you think that story God was going to use in a great way would have been in the Bible had it just been a thing of the normal? You know, oftentimes I've found out that when God decides to do something or to use somebody in an extraordinary way, there's almost always some type of unusual circumstances that leads up to that. Hey, listen, God was going to use Samuel as a powerful prophet to help deliver the nation of Israel. And so you know what I believe? I believe that Hannah had to know that it was God that allowed this thing to happen. Let me say, church, and especially you ladies, don't be discouraged if there's times of barrenness in your life in different areas. Now, today, the example of barrenness is that of not having children. But oftentimes, there's many circumstances that it seems as there's just a barrenness in. I mean, something you desire that's good, something you desire that's right, and for some reason, God has allowed barrenness to be in that area of your life for a particular time. You know, sometimes church growth is like that. I mean, you go through times as a church where visitors come, people respond, people are getting saved, everybody's getting along, things are going great. And there's other times where none of that's happening. I mean, you haven't changed the method. You're still obeying the Lord. You're still doing everything you've always done. But yet it seems like you're doing the same thing, but the same results aren't there. And you know, sometimes in life, if we're not careful, we'll be tempted to get discouraged and we'll be tempted to give up. But as we're going to see in the rest of the message today, don't stop believing. Don't stop praying. Don't give up on God. You know why? Because I promise you there's a plan in motion, and God's trying to accomplish some things for His purpose, for His honor, and for His glory. Amen? So don't allow the barrenness times in life to discourage you. So we see, first of all, in our story, her barrenness. And then notice what also we see. We see that her barrenness led to her burden. Look there in verse 6. It talks about Penaiah, and it says, "And she, her adversary, provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, and therefore she wept and did not eat." And then said Elkanah to her husband, "Hannah, why weepest thou? Why eatest thou not? Why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons?" So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in, listen to this phrase, bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Listen, folks, this was a major burden on the heart of this lady. You know, it's one thing to have to deal with being barren, but notice what added to that, the burden that added to that. It was the sister wife, all right? Penaiah kept rubbing it into Hannah that she couldn't have children. Let me just stop here and say this for a minute. All right, let me talk about this subject real quick of polygamy. And you may wonder about it. Why is it mentioned in the Bible? It seems like that there's people that God loved and cared for, but yet they were involved in polygamous marriages. Let me just say this. Polygamy was never part of God's original plan, okay? You go back to the book of Genesis, and we've been teaching about this on Thursday night in our Bible study. But God's plan was one man, one woman for life. That was God's plan. And anytime you see polygamy in the Bible, it's because man's come along and decided they were going to kind of take matters into their own hands. Now, God permitted it, all right? But let me just say this. Every place in the Bible you read about polygamy, let me just say, those were not marriages made in heaven, okay? Every time you see this in here, there's problem, there's conflict, there's all kinds of things that come up because man decided they wanted to try to do it better than God. Let me just say this, folks, you can't improve on God's plan, amen? All right, you can't improve on it. And we see the problem here because you had the one wife was in essence prodding and making the other wife feel bad because she couldn't have children. And so we see the burden here that Hannah was carrying. Let me talk to you for a few minutes this morning about burdens. You know, everybody has a burden to bear. Did you know that? Everybody has a burden to bear. Galatians chapter 6, verse 5, the Bible says, "For every man shall bear his own burden." Now, aren't you thankful, praise the Lord, one of these days that we're going to be able to lay those burdens down, amen? But it's not going to be while we're alive on this earth. I mean, there's coming a day where you're not going to have to bear them anymore. There's coming a day where you're not going to have to feel the heartache and the sorrow and all the toil and all the hard work of the burdens that we have to bear on this life. But guess what? We're not there yet, amen? And if you're alive, if you're breathing, I promise you there's going to be burdens in life that you're going to have to bear. Now, you know what? Your burdens aren't my burdens, and mine aren't yours, but we all have them. You ladies, you mothers, in order for you to be what the Lord wants for you to be, you know what? You're going to have a heavy burden to carry. And you know, and by the way, if you're interested in pleasing God and living for the Lord and being the mother God wants you to be according to the Bible, amen, according to the Bible, not according to society, but according to the Bible, let me say, you know what? You're going to have to carry a burden, amen? By the way, let me say this. Kudos to ladies who live a life that pleases the Lord Jesus Christ. My hat is off to you. I admire what it takes to be a godly lady in 2018. Amen? Listen, motherhood, especially godly motherhood, isn't for wimps. I promise you that's the case. And so that's a burden. And we see the burden Hannah had. So we all have burdens to bear. Aren't you thankful for this? Aren't you thankful that God offers help with burdens? Amen. Aren't you thankful for that? God offers help with our burdens. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 28, He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden light." You say, wait a minute, you said God offers help with burdens, and now all He says is to take His burden upon us? But did you notice what Jesus said here? He said, "For my yoke is easy." By the way, what's a yoke? You know what a yoke is? A yoke is where two things are joined together so they can work together. Amen? In the old days, before the invention of machinery, they used to plow fields. It was called a yoke of oxen. And they used to get those oxen together, and they'd put them in this device that would go over their heads, and it would allow those oxen to put their energies to the same use, so multiple things could work together to accomplish something. And you know what Jesus is saying here? He says, listen, the burden, why don't you just, instead of taking your burden, take my burden upon you, because I promise you, if you take my burden upon you, you know what you're going to do? I'm going to yoke up with you, amen? I'm going to be in the yoke with you. I'm going to help you pull that burden. So let me encourage you, hey, yoke up with Jesus, amen? He's a great person to be in a yoke with you, all right? Hey, I'd rather Jesus be in the yoke with me than the devil, amen? I'd rather Jesus be in the yoke with me than even than to be in it by myself. I want to be in the yoke with Him. So God offers help with our burdens, amen? And not only that, God also sends other people to help with burdens. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. And by the way, the same chapter, the same where it says that we have our own burdens to bear, it says this, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." And you know, it's important that we come alongside other folk and help them with their burden. Now, the Bible doesn't say we're to take their burden from them. That's not what it says. Because everybody's got to bear your burden. But the Bible says that we can help bear other people's burdens. Let me tell you what we're trying to do here at White River Baptist Church. We're trying to come alongside folks and get a shoulder under their burden and help them bear that burden a little bit. Amen? All right? Listen, folks, you're in a church where people love you and people care for you. And the best we can, we'll come alongside your burden and we'll kind of help you put a shoulder underneath it and we'll help you bear it a little bit. Amen? And so notice the burden here of this lady, Hannah. So she was barren, and then she had a burden. And then I want you to notice something else. Then she did some begging, all right? She did some begging. It says there in verse 10, "And she was in bitterness of soul, but notice what she did when she was in that state, and prayed unto the Lord." And prayed unto the Lord. In verse 11, "And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou would indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give to thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." And then it says in verse 12, "And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord." You know what she did here? She didn't have a pity party on herself. She didn't sit here. Now, she did have a burden. She did carry this thing. It did trouble her. But you know, you don't see her running around whining to everybody about this. No, you know what she did? She took it to the Lord. Amen? She continued praying. This verse shows us Hannah's dependence upon God. Now, let me say this, church. I don't fully understand how God works in every area of life. I don't understand why some prayers seem to get answered in a timely manner and others may take days or months or even years to get an answer to. But let me say this, don't stop asking. Don't stop begging God to answer the thing that has your heart burdened. Don't give up on that, amen? Listen, we're not God. The Bible says His ways aren't our ways. And that's why as Christians, we just got to trust in the Lord, amen? God sees things we can't see. He knows things we don't know. And I know at times the burden's heavy and there's things in our life and we're asking God and we don't seem to be getting relief. Let me encourage you. Keep asking, amen? Keep begging the Lord. The Bible says in Matthew 7:7, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh, seeketh, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." That word in there, ask, that is in the linear form. It literally means this, to ask and to ask and to ask and to ask. And to, it means that don't give up, amen? You got to keep asking, folks. You got to keep at it. And we see Hannah here. She kept begging. How about it, Mom? What is it that you're asking God for in the lives of your children? Maybe you're a young mother and you're asking God to use your children to do great things for Him. Maybe you're praying for a grown child that has gone astray from the Lord. Maybe it's something that has nothing to do with your children at all, but you just need God to come through for you in a major way. Hey, let me encourage you. Keep begging, keep asking. Keep begging, keep asking. George Washington, the father of our country, literally changed the course of American history for God's glory. His overwhelming reputation of humility, perseverance, dignity, honor, strength, sincerity were second to none. He was not just a military and revolutionary war hero. He was a shining example of one enlisted in the army of God. The King of Kings was his leader and none other. George's mother, Mary Washington, raised him and his siblings as a single mother after his father passed when he was 10 years old. She found her strength in God alone. It's recorded that she went to a nearby rock outside of her house to pray continually. George wrote letters to his mother while in the battlefield of the Revolutionary War, proving what her prayers were doing for him. He wrote that he escaped death when bullets went through his coat and horses were shot out from underneath him. Miracle after miracle happened to George Washington, and he honored his mother with these words, "All that I am, I owe to my mother." He knew many of his triumphs happened because of his mother's pleading prayers on his behalf. She prayed diligently and birthed our nation a God-fearing, courageous leader. Let me tell you why a lot of these men in our early history were what they were. Because of a praying mother. Amen? And I'm just telling you, moms, your begging is important. Your begging for your children is important. Don't give up! So number one, her barrenness. Number two, her burden. Number three, her begging. And then notice what we see here as the story keeps going. Her believing. Her believing. Verse 17, back in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." And she said, "Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight." So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Anna his wife, and the Lord remembered her. You know, if there's one thing you see all through Scripture that God expects from His children, we must believe. We got to believe it, folks. All right? And by the way, we see the fact that Hannah believed. She had the burden. She was praying. The man of God came to her and said, "Hannah, God's answered your prayer. God's going to do what you ask for Him to." And immediately, as soon as the priest told her that, the Bible says that her spirit was quietened, she began to eat. You know what? Even before it happened, she believed it was going to happen. Amen? Let me say this, church. Let me say this, moms. If you're going to be the mother God wants you to be, you've got to believe. Amen? Listen, salvation comes by believing. The Bible tells us that. All throughout the Scripture, everything about the Christian life is about belief. Acts chapter 16 and verse 31. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Prayer is answered when we believe. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye shall receive them, and ye shall have them." Victory comes by believing. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Who is he that overcometh the world? "But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God." So we see here, after Hannah had poured her soul out to the Lord, she made the vow to dedicate and give her future child back to the Lord. She'd been blessed by Eli the priest, and you know what? She returned home, and she was able to bear a child. Why did that happen? Because she believed God enough to obey, even though she didn't know the outcome. I mean, think about it. What was the difference this time? Had she not tried before to have a child? I mean, did she not want a child before? What's the difference? The difference is she had the promise of God and she chose to believe what God said. Amen? Now, I know the old saying. We all heard it. All right? What do they say? Seeing is believing. I mean, right? Well, you know, that's what scientists say. Well, seeing is believing. Well, that might be the old saying, but let me say this. It may make a good science project, but it's not so good when it comes to faith in God. Amen. When it comes to the things of the Lord, if you're going to be what God wants you to be, if you're going to be the mother God wants you to be, you got to believe God. Amen. And a lot of things in life, God asks you to believe things you can't even see. What is that called? It's called faith. All right, remember this. Faith is believing in not what you see, but in what God says. Let me say that again. Faith is believing in not what you see, but in what God says. And that's what we see exactly happen in the life of Hannah. I mean, how could she have been so happy, go from that point of utter sorrow to the point of happiness? You know how? Because she just believed. Amen? So moms, let me encourage you this morning. For the sake of your husband, for the sake of your kids, for the sake of your church, for the sake of your own sanity, believe what the Bible says. Amen? The things the Bible says, especially the instruction that comes to being a godly lady, to being a godly mother that He wants you to be, just believe what the Bible says. You say, but that's not what society is. Let me tell you this right now, I promise you, if you're looking to society, if you're looking to the culture and looking at what they say to try to figure this thing out, you're in trouble, folks. I'm just saying you're in trouble. Because I'm telling you, by the way, how's society doing, by the way? Okay? How's their track record? All right, how's it working out for them? Listen, don't believe them. Believe God. Amen? Believe what the Bible says. And not only that, the next thing we see is her blessing. Is her blessing. Look at what it says in verse 20. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 20. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come, about after Hannah had conceived, listen to this, she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. You know what you find out here? That she got exactly what she asked for. She got it, folks. The thing that her heart desired, the burden that she was carrying, the everything, the barrenness. Listen, the barrenness was changed to a blessing. Amen? The breakthrough happened. Let me just encourage you in this area. You know what? A lot of times in life, if we will be patient and we will not forsake the Bible, and we won't give up on God. You know, a lot of times the answer is just waiting for God to give the go-ahead for. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, listen to this verse. But they that wait upon the Lord, all right, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know what the key to that verse is, the first words? But they that wait upon the Lord. And you know, sometimes in life, I don't know about y'all, but patience is not my greatest virtue. Amen. Now, I've been learning to have more patience. God's been making sure I've been learning, and I promise you that, all right? Through all this process we've been going through with getting the church started and trying to get moved and get our house going, oh my goodness, I don't think I'll ever pray for patience again, all right? Because that's one prayer I guarantee you God will answer, all right, if you pray for that. But you know what? You got to wait upon the Lord. God's timing is always right. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, the Bible says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know, I wonder what would have happened to the nation of Israel. I wonder what would have happened to Hannah. I wonder what would have happened to all those affected by the ministry of Samuel. Had instead of patiently waiting on God to answer her prayer, she blamed God, became bitter, copped an attitude with Eli the priest. I wonder if there ever would have been that blessing had she not decided to patiently wait upon the Lord. Let me say this, church. Blessings come to those who are willing to trust God and wait on His timing. Okay? What is it in your life that you're waiting on something for God for? Okay? And I understand, okay, you pray. The days turn into months. Maybe the months even turn into a year. Maybe the year even turns into multiple years. Are you still waiting upon the Lord? Are you still trusting in God? I promise you, folks, keep waiting. Amen? The blessing will come. And then we see after the blessing, we see her bringing. Look there at that toward the end of the chapter, verse 24. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And then down in verse 28, notice what she says. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. as long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. You know what we find out here? By the way, Hannah made a vow here before God. She made a promise. She told God, she said, God, if you'll give me a man child, I will give him back to you. All right? And we see here that when God answered her prayer, that she brought him back to the Lord. You know, I wonder how many people have made promises to God in a time of need or a time of desperation. And by the way, God in His mercy answered those prayers. But yet when they get what they were asking for, they never fulfill the promise that they promised God. You know how many times I've helped somebody? I've done something for somebody. And I always tell folks, I said, look, I don't mind helping you. I'm not about giving handouts, but I'll give a hand up. But you know what? If I'm going to help you, I want you to come to church, okay? If our church is going to help you, you need to come here. Preacher, I promise you I'll be there. Really? All right? You know how many times people have told me that? And yet they never fulfill through with what they say they're going to do? Listen to me, church. Hey, it's an important thing, by the way, to promise and make a vow to God. That's important. I mean, in fact, it shows God how serious you are about something. And back in Genesis chapter 28, we see the story of Jacob. And it says, and Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in the way, then I go and will give me bread to eat, raiment to put on. And he says, then I will do this thing that he vowed to him. Listen, making a vow is a scriptural thing. Okay? And by the way, it kind of lets God know that you're serious about what you're asking. And some things in life ought to be serious enough you're willing to make a vow to God about. Okay? And by the way, that's a very scriptural thing to do. But let me say this. If you make a vow, you better keep the vow you made. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. In fact, the Bible even says in another place, it's better not even to make a vow than to make a vow and break it. All right? And let me just say, there's certain things in life that it's serious enough you ought to make a vow about. Okay? It lets God know you're serious. But when you do it, you better keep what you vowed. And you know what we find? That's exactly what Hannah did. She said, God, I want a child so bad. God, I'm in this great distress. God, I got this great burden. God, would you answer my prayer? And guess what? God answered her prayer. Amen? But then you know what? After God had answered that prayer, she said, okay, God, I'm going to fulfill what I told you. I'm going to bring Samuel. I'm going to take him back and dedicate him to you. Now, this was a very special circumstance, by the way, okay? And obviously, this isn't the circumstance in most cases. But what her plan and what God's plan for Samuel was for her to raise him until he was weaned, all right, and then take him to Eli, the priest, and allow Eli to then begin training him to be the next prophet of Israel, okay? By the way, think about it for a minute. You know, she had, and we're going to see this in a minute, but she had no idea whether or not she'd even have any more children. But yet she still kept the vow that she vowed to God. And let me say this, mothers. It'd be wise to make some vows when it comes to the raising of your children. Why is that? Because let me say this. Raising your kids is pretty important. Amen. It's an important thing. Let me tell you what the devil in our society has tried to do. It's tried to rewire the thinking and tried to make it appear where kids are nothing but an inconvenience to people. Okay, and by the way, we know that's true because just this week I read about three stories of parents who left their kids in a hot car and their kids suffocated and died. Listen, folks, come on. People don't even, they treat their kids worse than they do their animals. Okay, people love their little doggy more than they love their kids. What's wrong with people? I tell you what's wrong with them. The devil's done his job at convincing people that kids aren't that important. And by the way, this whole thing about abortion, it's no wonder people think that, because all they got to do if they don't want a kid is go have it murdered, by the way. And you know what? That's what abortion is. It's murder. Okay? Now, I'm not trying to make somebody feel bad if that's in your past, but you know what? You need to know what the Bible says about it. Amen? All right? And you need to make the right choices and right decisions on that. And so we see here that Hannah made some vows. And let me encourage you, moms. You know what? Your kids are important enough to make some vows over. You ought to vow to raise them for the Lord. Amen? You ought to vow to raise them for God. There's nothing better thing you could do than raise your kids for the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to vow to teach them the things that are right. By the way, mom, you're primary on this. All right? Yes, we as dads do help teach also. And kids need a mom and a dad. But let me tell you, there's something about that mom, something about the teaching, especially in those younger years, the foundation that is laid by a mother. You ought to vow to teach your kids the right things. You ought to vow to be the right example in front of your children. All right? You know what kids have, especially teenagers? They have what I call hypocrisy radar. Let me tell you what doesn't work with teens. Do as I say, not as I do. Wrong. If that's your philosophy, you might as well forget it, okay? Because let me tell you something. You can fool certain people. It's hard to fool a teenager, I'll be honest with you. They see right through fakeness, all right? So you know what you got to do? You got to lead by example, amen? I mean, once you make a vow to be a good example, these are things that are important. Now listen, though. If you expect God to do His part, then you do your part. You keep the vow that you make. So we see Hannah here and her bringing. And then I want to show you here the last thing about Hannah this morning. Look at verse 21. Man, this is awesome. Look at her bountifulness. Amen? Her bountifulness. Look at verse 21. Notice what it says. And I'm sorry, this is chapter 2. All right? We've got to flip over a chapter here. Chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 21. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived, listen to this, and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Hey, remember, this we're talking about a woman who was barren. We're talking about a woman who couldn't have any kids. And when she gave her kid, her son Samuel to the Lord, and she kept her vow, God says, okay, Hannah, you did your part. Now watch what I'm going to do for you. God blessed her with 5 more children. So she went from being barren to being a mother of 6. Amen? And look at that. God blessed her obedience. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Let me say this, church. Listen to me. There is bountifulness in obeying the Lord. I promise you this. You will never ever outgive God, ever. Okay? In fact, I am so surprised. You know, everybody talks about, you know, oh, God's so unfair. Let me tell you who gets the raw end of the deal. God does. He's got to put up with us. All right? And you know what? I'm so surprised when we will simply obey. We'll simply do. We'll give God, you know, and by the way, compared to who He is and what He has, such a very small, meager amount. And then God turns around and He pours His blessings out upon us. Amen? Did you hear what that verse said? And to Him that is able to do exceeding, abundantly, above. You know, those are 3 different ways to describe something great that God does. Amen? There is bountifulness in obeying the Lord. Now, I know there's times that it may not seem like it, all right? You may not think it's worth the price of obeying. By the way, just ask Hannah how it worked out. How'd it work out for Hannah? Okay? How'd she end up doing? Well, I think God took care of her. Amen? By the way, isn't that just like God? I mean, we give to Him, and He gives back abundantly above. Man, praise God. Now look, I'm not a believer in this false teaching known as the health and wealth gospel. I mean, you got these churches out here, mainly they're these mega churches, and they're basically, oh, if you just, you know, if you give God this, then you'll be healthy the rest of your life. God will make you a millionaire. Listen, I don't believe in that stuff. That's not what the Bible teaches. But I promise you what the Bible does teach. The Bible does teach that obedience brings blessing. Amen? And if you just decide you're going to obey God, listen, I promise you, folks, God is going to bless you. Amen? He will bless your life. Now, our problem is we think blessing means this. Okay? That's what we think blessing means. But you know what? There's way more than blessings in life than just how much money's in your bank account. Amen? Way more blessing. Hey, could you get out of bed this morning? That's a blessing. Amen? I mean, can you move your body? Can your mind work? Do your eyes work? Listen, that's a blessing. Did you have a roof over your head last night? Did you have food in your belly this last past week? Hey, do you live in the greatest nation on the planet Earth? Come on, folks. God has been good to us. Amen? And His blessings are upon those who will choose to obey. Now, I want to show you one more passage, and then we're going to close out. Back in Proverbs chapter 31 is the story of what's known as the virtuous woman. And this is an example, and in fact, last Mother's Day I preached through this passage. This is the example of what a godly woman, a godly wife, a godly mother is supposed to be. Now, I'm not going through and teaching through all that again, but I do want you to notice a couple verses out of Proverbs chapter 31. Look down at verse 28. The Bible says, and again, this is the example of the woman, who's not perfect, by the way, all right, but is doing her best to be what God wants her to be. Notice the results of that. Verse 28. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Let me just say this, ladies, all right? It's worth doing right, amen? It's worth it. Okay, just do your best. Again, not to be perfect, that's never the standard. But do your best to be the godly wife and mother and godly lady that God wants you to be. Please, just do it, okay? Just do. You say, yeah, but that's not what how the View tells me to live. That's not what Oprah said. Stop it! All right, just stop. Throw away all the help books. Throw away all the garbage. The only help book you need to be what you ought to be is this one right here. Amen? Get it. Read it. Apply it principles to your life. I promise you, you know what? Listen, your family's going to be thankful for it. Your church is going to be thankful for it. Society's going to be thankful for it. Amen? The old saying, all men say, happy wife, happy life. Let me tell you, that's pretty close to the truth. Amen? Okay? All right? Come on. How about it, ladies? Let's learn these lessons from this biblical mother here, and let's be what the Lord would have us to be. Let's pray. Lord, we love you.